Do you feel like you're in the presence of the Lord today? Man, I do. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Mark, chapter 4. And we're going to continue in our series of sermons through the Gospel of Mark. Today we're going to read that passage of Scripture about about a sudden storm that appears on the Sea of Galilee. You know, weather has always been very unpredictable and very difficult to forecast. Heard a story about an Indian tribe, and they had a new chief. And in the fall of the year, the Indians came to their chief and said, "Oh, great and wise and wonderful chief, tell us, is it going to be a cold winter this year? What kind of winter are we going to have? Is it going to be cold or mild?" And he said, "Well, let's see." He didn't know anything about the weather, actually. And he said, "I'll go talk to the woolly caterpillar and to the great beaver and to the bald eagle, and I'll find out what kind of winter we're going to have." So he goes off, but he doesn't know how to talk to any of those animals anyway. So he finds a telephone and he calls the National Weather Service. And he says, "Hey, can you tell me what kind of winter we're going to have? You know, is it going to be like mild or cold?" And they said, "Look, we have a hard enough time predicting next week, much less predicting, months ahead. But, just flip a coin, maybe it's going to be a cold winter." So he goes back to his tribe and he says, "Well, I talked to the woolly caterpillar and to the bald eagle and to the great beaver, and they say that this winter will be cold." So the Indians went out and they began to start gathering firewood, and it stayed pretty warm, and so he got a little worried about it. So he went back a couple of weeks later and called back. The National Weather Service said, "Hey, guys, it's not getting cold or anything. Are you sure this is going to be a cold winter?" And they said, "Well, yeah, now, we've been, checking everything, and now we feel pretty confident that this is going to be a pretty cold winter." So he said, "Okay, thanks." So he goes back, tells his folks, "This is going to be a cold winter." And so they just, they're really getting after it, loading up the firewood and everything. But it still stays warm. It doesn't get cold. And so he goes back and calls them a third time and says, "Hey, listen, I'm kind of skeptical about your forecast, but I need to know this for sure. Is it going to be a cold winter?" And they said, "Sir, now we feel pretty confident that not only is it going to be cold, it might be record cold. This may be the coldest winter ever." And so he said, "Well, how can you tell? I mean, just a month or so ago, you told me that, you just kind of flipped the coin, and now you're telling me it's going to be the coldest winter." And they said, "Well, we've been checking all the signs." He said, "What kind of signs are you looking at?" And they said, "Well, for one thing, the Indians are putting up firewood like crazy." Sorry about that. Those of you who think that we don't need to laugh in church, that wasn't a very funny joke anyway. Anyway, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to find out just how unpredictable the weather is. All right. So Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. "And that day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him, and a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' And they were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now, that particular story, it's quite possible you've heard a number of times, and it's a tremendous miracle. It's a crazy miracle, that Jesus would speak to the wind and the waves. But for just a moment, I want to put you in the place of the disciples in that boat. In fact, I really think to get the full impact of what's going on in this passage of Scripture, you really need to be able to empathize with the disciples in the boat that day. I mean, so let's just, if you would, just for a moment, in your mind's eye, just go back with me. And we're there on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. It's been a long day. The day started very early with Jesus up praying, and it wasn't too long after that the crowds began to arriving. All day long they pressed in on Jesus. He did some healing. The Pharisees accused Him of doing this healing by the power of Beelzebub, that is, by the power of Satan. His own family, His mother and brothers, showed up and they tried to take Him home, claiming that he somehow was out of His mind. He had spent a big part of the day teaching, telling parables. Remember the parable of the sower who went out to sow in the four different soils, and the parable of the one who sowed and the seed just grew. He didn't know how. He told the parable of the mustard seed, smallest of seed that grows into this big tree. And now it's evening time. And when the Scripture says it's evening time, what it means is it's that time of day between sunset and dark. So now the darkness is beginning to descend upon us just a little bit. And Jesus says, let's go to the other side of the lake. There are some boats there. And because Peter, James, and John, anyway, they were fishermen. And so they had some boats. There were some other boats around. Jesus says, let's go to the other side. What He wants to do is get away from the crowd. He wants the opportunity to rest just a little bit. And so He gets into the boat and they cast off from the shore. And some of the disciples begin rowing. Others rig up the sailing apparatus. It's a beautiful evening. The stars are out. There's a gentle breeze now that is blowing. The waves are just lapping on the boat just a little bit. You can hear it creak even as it just makes its way through the gentle swells in the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, by the way, is 6 miles wide, 13 miles long. It's kind of heart-shaped. And the sea itself, really, it's just a lake, actually. And the lake, or the Sea of Galilee, is 600 feet below sea level. The cliffs around the Sea of Galilee rise 1,300 feet above sea level, meaning that those things are about 2,000 feet above the level of the sea. Now, what will happen on the Sea of Galilee, I actually have seen this personally one time when I was there back in 1987. The wind can begin to blow and is actually funneled down through those crevices or the canyons in the Sea of Galilee. So now it's dark, and all of a sudden the storm blows up, and almost just like that, the lightning strikes, there's thunder, and the waves begin to pick up as the wind continues to blow and as it picks up. Some of the disciples are getting nervous now as the rain begins to pour down, and the lake itself begins to toss that little boat. Some of the waves begin to come over the side. Some of the disciples, in their fear now, begin to take whatever they can find and begin to bail water out of the boat. The winds pick up. The waves pick up. The Scripture says that the waves begin to break over the side now. Now all the disciples are bailing because they've given up any chance of trying to guide the boat itself, just hoping that this storm will blow over. Bailing and bailing and bailing. And all this while, Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. Somebody finally says, man, we got to wake this guy up. We need help. And so they go back and they shake Jesus. And I got a feeling that he probably, it was hard for them to wake him up. And so they shook him again. Finally, he stood up and he kind of cleared his eyes and he looked out. And the question was, Jesus, don't you even care? We're about to drown here. Jesus, do something. And all of a sudden, Jesus just says, be quiet. I said, hush. And now the only sound you hear is the heavy breathing of the disciples. And Jesus just says, where's your faith, boys? Where's your faith? Turned around, laid back down, And I think just like that, he was asleep again. And now the disciples, wide-eyed, the fear in their heart replaced by the terror that they are in the presence of God. What would you have done if you had been on that boat that day? Storms. Storms in life. What I want to do is I want to talk to you today about storms. And I want to give you some storm truths. Because storms are a natural part of life. So basically just three storm truths. If you're writing things down, these are the things you want to write down. Truth number one, there's no promise that you will never face storms. There is no promise that you will never face storms in this life. I want you to notice as you look back down at verse 36. Jesus in verse 35 has said, let's go over to the other side. In verse 36, it says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was. Do you see that? Just as he was? What does that mean? Just as he was. You know, I scratched my head over that just a little bit. I wonder what Mark was trying to communicate with us when it says they took Jesus along just as he was. And basically, I think what it means is they didn't make any other preparation. They didn't go back to town. They didn't go to the house to get some supplies. They were there on the western side, the Sea of Galilee. Jesus says, let's go to the other side. There's some boats there. And so just as they were, just as Jesus was, they got in the boat and they took off. I want you to notice that they didn't make any bargains. They didn't talk about a fee or set a rate or anything like that. They didn't say, now Jesus, listen, we'll let you use our boats, but you know, it's dangerous out there on the sea at night. You may not understand this, but we do because we're the fishermen. And so, Jesus, I tell you what, we know that you can do some pretty cool stuff. If you will promise us that we will not run into any trouble out there, sure, we'll take you across. That conversation did not happen. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And just as he was, without bargaining, without any other plans, without anything else, Jesus said, do it. They got in the boat and here they took off. I think that's what Mark is trying to say to us when he says they took Jesus along just as he was. And notice that even though Jesus was in the boat, now he's asleep in the boat. But even though Jesus was in the boat, the storm came along. You know, you'd like to think that if Jesus is in the boat, that ought to make us immune from some storms. That ought to keep some stuff away from us. I mean, the fact that we trust Him, we're following Him, you know, we're His disciples and all that. I mean, Jesus, look, we've done all this stuff for you. Can't you just do this little thing for us? Just keep the storm away. And yet with Jesus in the boat, storm came. And that's the point. Even with Jesus in your boat, you're going to face some storms. You know, there are some folks out there who believe and once you become a Christian, you're not going to have any problems. In fact, there's an entire theology that is developed around this. It's sometimes called the health and wealth gospel. There are plenty of preachers out there preaching it. You can go to the bookstore and you can find plenty of books that will teach you that since you're a Christian, if you just have enough faith and you just trust God enough, then nothing bad is ever going to happen to you because you belong to Him now and He controls everything. So why in the world would He ever let anything bad come into your life? He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be wealthy. He wants you to be wise. So just stick with Jesus, and as long as He's in the boat, you're never going to have any problem. You know, the problem with this theology is that it kind of makes God out to be our little sugar daddy, I suppose. Right? I mean, it's almost like in that theology, God exists to make me happy. And God is out there to make sure that I don't have any problems and that I got smooth sailing. So all I got to do is just go along with God. And because He's for me and my happiness is the center of everything. And as long as I'm happy, then everything's good, right? Then He's for me and I'm with God. That's the way that gospel is taught. You know the problem with that is? It is completely and totally non-biblical. In fact, let me just remind you of a couple of things. In Psalm 34:19, the scripture says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Get that? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, the Apostle Peter is speaking to Christians, to people like you and me, and this is what he said. Dear friends, do not be surprised. Watch this. Do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. He goes on to say, but rejoice. Don't be surprised at the painful trial that is happening to you. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble. You will have trial. You will have tribulation. All through the scripture, it teaches us we're going to go through storms. That's not the issue. Just because Jesus is in the boat doesn't keep you from the storms. Understand that. Heard a guy say one time to his pastor, he just got saved. He said, well, now that I'm a Christian, that's the end of my problems. And the pastor said, yeah, it's the front end. Get it? The front end, not the back end. Storms come, beloved. They come in different shapes and sizes. Some of them are physical storms. And some of you right now are going through storms like that. You're going through some health issues or some health crises in your life. Some of the storms are financial storms. They come because we mess up, because somebody else messes up, because nobody messes up. We just have problems with money. Sometimes they're emotional storms. They're hurts. Hurts that other people cause us or hurts that we cause people. And our relationships are ruptured. Storms come in life. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are. Even with Jesus in the boat, storms come. All right? That's the first truth. Truth number one. You're never promised that you won't face storms. Truth number two. Storms bring either fear or faith, or they bring out either fear or faith in your life. And so here are the disciples. They're out on the sea with Jesus in the boat, and a storm blows up. And Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. And the disciples were fighting to maintain control of that boat. Some of them started bailing, some trying to trim sails, some tried to do one thing or another. And then the waves begin to break over the boat. Now everybody is bailing and the boat continues to fill up. And it looks like they're going to swamp here. That means they're going to sink. And within that fear of the storm, there is a greater fear that is developing. Fighting the storm, there's a greater battle that they're struggling with now, and that is the battle against fear. You know, a president once said, in the height of the Depression, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. It's a great struggle and battle for many people. Fear. You know what fear is? Somebody said fear was false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. And so now the fear begins to well up in the hearts of these disciples. They wake Jesus up and he calms the storm. And then did you notice the question he asked them? He said, why are you so afraid? Why did you let the fear overtake you? I mean, think about it. Why? Because they were looking at their circumstances. The waves are breaking over the boat. The boat is about to swamp. They're going down. Their circumstances told them, and listen, these folks knew that lake. They knew the storms. They knew that boat. They knew what was going to happen. Their truth told them, we're going to die. This boat is sinking. We're going down. Was that the truth? You know, it was Henry Blackaby in Experiencing God that taught us to go back to the scripture and remind ourselves. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Remember that? The truth of their circumstances said, we're going to drown. But the truth was asleep in the back of the boat. Truth was asleep in the back of the boat. And remember, Jesus had said something to them. Remember what that was? At the very beginning, Jesus said in verse 35, let us go to the other side. Now, when Jesus calmed the storm, he said, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? He was calling for faith, a faith response from them. But what kind of faith was he looking for? Do you think he was looking for the kind of faith that they could have jumped up and said, hey, storm, stop it? Maybe they could, because, you know, Jesus said if you have just faith size of a mustard seed, and you say to this mountain, go jump in the lake or go jump in the sea, and it'll go jump in the sea. I mean, anybody can have mustard seed size faith. But when Jesus said, where's your faith? I'm not sure he was expecting them to stop the storm. But he was expecting them to look in the back of the boat and remember his word. And his word was, let us go to the other side. Now notice, fear looks at the circumstances, the storm, the boat sinking. Faith looks at Jesus. Fear listens to what everybody is saying. We're going to drown! Faith listens to what Jesus said. We're going to the other side. Beloved, storms are going to come in your life. There's no denying that. Somebody said there's three kinds of people. People that have faced storms. People that are facing storms now. People that will face storms. Just being a Christian doesn't make you immune from the storms. And some of you sitting in this room this morning, you're going through a mighty big storm, maybe even at the moment. And you know, the natural response when these things blow up in our lives is fear. Because what happens is we look at the circumstances, and fear is a bully. Fear is like, is bigger than any school bully. It will grab you and shake you and say, listen to me. It will grip your heart. It sneaks up on you. It controls you. But there is another response for a child of God. For somebody who knows what God has said, and the other response is faith. Fear looks at the circumstances. Faith listens to what Jesus said. And the truth of this circumstance was not that they were going to drown. The truth was that Jesus said, we're going to the other side. Can I just say a word to you? When Jesus is in your boat, you know you're going to get to the other side. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, God Himself said, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Did you get that? The right hand of God is the strong hand. He said, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He said, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear. Why? Because I'm with you. In Psalm 34, 17 and 18, the psalmist said, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Beloved, those are promises of God. God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. In the midst of the storm, listen, God never said that He's going to remove the storm or that you never go through any storms. But what He said, I'll never leave you in the storm. And so when Jesus is in your boat, you know you're going to make it to the other side. Do you understand that? I mean, when Jesus said we're going to the other side, there's not a storm or a wave or even the devil himself that could have sunk that boat, because the Word of God was, we're going to the other side. Get it? Somebody just say amen. Come on. Okay, so let's try this. I'm a little bit worried about you here. I'm not sure we're getting this. All right. Could we just do this? If Jesus is in my boat, I know I'm going to get to the other side. Could we just say that together? If Jesus is in my boat, I know I'm going to get to the other side. Try one more time. If Jesus is in my boat, I know I'll get to the other side. Now say it like you mean it. If Jesus is in my boat, I know I'll get to the other side. You understand? Storms are going to come. There's no denying that. But when Jesus is in your boat, there's a faith response. And when you respond by faith, Jesus says, we're going to get to the other side. Let me just give you the final thing then. Jesus is the perfect storm calmer. He's the perfect storm calmer. Now, I entitled this entire sermon, The Perfect Storm Calmer, right? And I got that from, you know, there was a movie, I don't know, 10 or so years ago called The Perfect Storm. And that movie was actually based on a true story of the Andrea Gale, a 72-foot fishing boat in October of 1991 off the coast of North America, out in the North Atlantic. A storm blew up. And it wasn't just any storm. There was a kind of a coming together of some different weather patterns. There was a cold front coming down from the north and a warm front coming up this way. And it actually spawned a hurricane. This was just an incredible, unusual event. And it was one weatherman who dubbed it the perfect storm. It just kind of fed upon itself. And all of a sudden, man, this thing blew up. And out in the North Atlantic, there were waves that were measured at 10 stories. 10-story high waves whipped up by this storm. That little 72-foot Andrea gale never had a chance. It went down with all hands lost. And that's the way those disciples were feeling that day. That storm came up, and it was the fear in their heart that caused them actually to rebuke Jesus. Did you notice how they spoke to Him? Jesus, don't you even care? I mean, He'd just been talking to them about faith. He'd been talking to them about life with Him. And now, Jesus, you don't even care about us. Jesus stood up, and with just a word, actually in the Greek it's two words, He said, be quiet. Actually, these words are words that a parent would say to a child. Hush! I said, hush! You know what I'm talking about? Any parents out there? I said, be quiet! That's kind of the impact of those words. He just stood up and said, hush down. Hush, be quiet now. And boom. And the only sound was the breathing of those disciples. I believe that. In fact, Mark tells us here that not only was it calm, it was completely calm. See that in the last part of verse 39? See that word completely there? It's the Greek word megale. We get our word mega from it. What kind of calm happened on the storm or on the sea that day? It was a mega calm. All right? I mean, there wasn't even a ripple on that water. There was no hint of any breeze at all. Because when Jesus says, be quiet, everything gets quiet. You understand? Because He's the Lord of glory. So He said, hush up now. And all of a sudden, there is this mega calm. And the only sound is the breathing of the disciples. And now, it says down in verse 41, they're terrified. And again, that word terrified is the word for fear and the word megale. So it was a mega fear. So there's a mega calm going on. And now there's a mega fear. And this is more like a mega awe. How in the world did He do that? Who is this man? I want you to notice something. The miracle of the calming of this storm is in the timing. It's in the timing because the truth is every storm sooner or later is going to blow over. Maybe you're in a storm right now. It's going to blow over. Every storm that has ever come in the history of the world has eventually blown out because storms do that. The miracle is in the fact that Jesus said, be quiet. And at that moment, that storm just calmed right down. But let me ask you a question. Would it have been any bigger miracle if Jesus had said to the disciples, hush up now. Be still. Quieten down. Everything's going to be all right. I'm here with you. I said we're going to get to the other side. We're going to get to the other side. What if He had calmed the hearts of the disciples instead of calming the storm? You understand what I'm saying? Because you see, sometimes that's the way Jesus works. Sometimes He calms the storm. I mean, everybody goes through storms, and sometimes Jesus, as we go to Him and cry out to Him, as we turn to look to Him, as we go to Him by faith, sometimes Jesus calms the storm because He's the storm calmer. But sometimes He reaches right down into our hearts. And He gives us the peace that passes all understanding. Let me just remind you of a couple of verses again in John 16:33. Watch this. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in Me, and there's the key to that verse, so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. What's the key to peace in this world? In Jesus. Get it? Jesus said, you're going to have trouble in this world, but in Me there's peace. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul said, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Watch this. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds." How? "In Christ Jesus." You see that? "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So he says, in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I mean, what we're talking about here is, in the midst of the storm, what's your first response? Go to Jesus. Go to Him and pray with joy and thanksgiving, because you know that He hears you. He says, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." He says that the righteous cry out to Him and He hears. I mean, when the Scripture says that, and that's the promise of God, what's the first thing to do when I've got problems? Well, the first thing we do is we're afraid. We go tell somebody else. We say, "What in the world am I going to do?" And we start to fall apart and everything like that. But let me tell you something. I've been in this ministry business now for about 25 years. I've been a pastor about that long. I've had the opportunity to be with all different types of people throughout all different types of situations and problems and storms. And I will tell you that my experience has been that there are these two responses. That sometimes when a storm comes in people's lives, they just completely fall apart and there's just nothing there. And let me tell you, if your faith in Jesus is just about going to church and putting on the show and all that kind of stuff, when the storm hits your life, there's not going to be anything to rely on and there's not going to be anything there. I have been with other people and I have seen some of the most devastating storms in this world. Some of those folks are in this church. Some of those folks have gone through some things that are incredible, unbelievable, and I've seen a peace that passes all understanding. Doesn't mean they might not be distressed or not like the storm, or they'd like to get rid of it and they've asked God to take it away. And still, in the midst of it, there is a peace. Where does that peace come from? In Jesus. In Jesus. That's where it comes from. "The peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And beloved, I will tell you, there's not any peace any place else. You will never find that kind of peace except in Christ. And so that means you better have Jesus in your boat. Storms are going to come. They're going to come to everybody. Nobody's immune from storms. And just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to have smooth sailing and the wind's not ever going to blow or there's never going to be any waves crash over the side of your boat. Storms come to every life. And you can either respond by fear or you can respond by faith. But when you got Jesus in your boat, you know you're going to get to the other side. Because that's what Jesus said. He said, "I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. And with me, we're going to make it." How do you make it through the storms of life? With Jesus. But beloved, you got to make sure He's in the boat. Is Jesus in your boat? Is Jesus in your boat? And when the storm comes, how are you going to face it? Fear? Faith? See, when Jesus is in your boat, you know you're going to get to the other side. But you better make sure He's in the boat. And when that storm comes, you just turn to Jesus. And the peace that passes all understanding, which guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, you will find. Father, help us today to be that people. God, help us to be men and women of faith. We've got to admit that Lord, oftentimes when the storms come, our first response is to run and hide, to cry out, to get rid of the storm, take it away. And then when it doesn't go away, then we'd get mad at You for bringing a storm in, God. Father, I pray today that Lord, as You just minister to our hearts, Father, that You would help each one as we just examine our own boat, looking around to what's in it. God, that we would find You. And for the boats in which You're not in, Lord, I pray today that today would be the day of salvation. That when You said, "Let's go to the other side," that that there's not anybody here who wouldn't take you just as you are, not trying to make a deal or a bargain or anything else. Just say, I want to go with Jesus. So Father, help us today. Lord, not to take away the storms, but God, to give us faith in the midst of the storm and to turn to You. Thank You for what You've done and what You're going to do. Lord, we're looking to You today by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.